Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The Pulitzer Prizes are announced today. They honor distinguished works of literature, music, drama, poetry, print journalism. Joining us in the studio today is Randall Beck. Joining us on the phone today is Randall Beck. He is co-chair of the Pulitzer Selection Committee as the prize-winning executive editor of the Argus Leader newspaper in Sioux Falls from 2001 to 2008. He led the newspaper through numerous public service investigative and First Amendment projects. Randall Beck joins us now from Sioux Falls. Sir, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Lori. Thank you.
So 8 years you have been on this committee, on the selection committee, is that correct?
Yep. It's like the Pulitzer Prize Board, and I just concluded my 8th year, and I have one more year, my last year on the board, and I'm now officially with the two other colleagues, co-chair in my last and final year.
Give us an idea, just a general overview of how the nomination process works for the prizes.
Sure. It's really simple and complex, I guess, at the same time. The fact is that any work published in a given year the arts, letters, music categories, such as fiction or history or poetry and drama, can be nominated for the prize. And then in the other primary category, journalism, the 12 categories of journalism plus the public service must be published by, in most cases, a newspaper or news organization. But you may know, you may not know, that the Pulitzer Board for the past couple years has been slowly opening up entries to magazines as well. So any news organization, newspaper or digital or magazine that publishes in a given year can self-publish its work to be recognized in any number of categories.
So what's driving the inclusion of magazine work if it wasn't there before?
Yep, good question. I think it actually begins with our decision about 6 years ago, just shortly after I joined the board, to begin acknowledging that journalism, great journalism, is produced by more than just our nation's newspapers, that it's occurring increasingly across diverse platforms, and we opened up the prizes to non-newspapers in terms of digital organizations, news organizations that publish only online, but recognizing that journalism is delivered in more than just a print, a daily newspaper channel. And then as we began to look at that, and we are seeing the world change around us, it became increasingly clear that magazines are another channel for first-rate American journalism, and so we're seeing an increase in those admissions as well. I will say that currently 5 categories are eligible for magazines.
So do the credentials of the writer or the journalist, for example, in the journalism category, do the credentials of the author come into play during the selection process, or are they judged purely on the work?
Well, that's a great question. I'm a little bit unclear of your word credentials, so I'm going to answer it this way. If I have done a story in a given publication, the publication is what nominates, typically, although the individuals can nominate. But when you enter your work, the person writing the letter of entry or nomination will include typical biographical information about themselves. So in that sense, I suppose background or credentials are important, but really in most cases, again, on the journalism side, the news organization is the primary channel for for how that sort of prize-winning work or potentially prize-winning work comes to the board.
So what I'm wondering specifically is if a brand new person on the scene, a new journalist, could conceivably win a Pulitzer, or are they consistently going, you know, based on the story that they dug up and the work that they did, or are they consistently going to those, you know, people who've been around for a long time and have lots of experience?
No, that really, if you look back over the span of the prizes, and we're now in our centennial year of the prizes, it's across the board. Literally, it's young journalists just starting out who, maybe because of their skill or perhaps because they were in the right place at the right time, they become part of a really big story. And because they're good at what they do, they are able to turn around and produce terrific work. So, but at the same time, we see prize winners still who, who have won Pulitzers previously and are maybe at the tail end, if you will, of their career. So we see it all over the block, and I would say that that's been going on for 100 years. That's not necessarily anything new, Lori.
Selection process, how intense is that? And what is that selection process like for individual categories?
Yeah, let me give you just a brief overview of how the process works. When a work comes to us nominated, it is assigned with all other entrants in that particular category. Let me just identify on the journalism side, maybe local reporting, or on the arts side, the history or fiction category. All of the nominees in that particular category go to a small group that we call the jury. The board selects jurors, people who are particularly experienced or knowledgeable about a particular area. Those jurors, usually 4 to 6 folks, sift through all of the entries, and they can often run into the hundreds. And they literally read all of the entries in that category, and they come up with a list of finalists, 3 in each category. And so once they've done that, the 3 finalists go to the board, and each of the board members, there are 16 of us on the board, read all of the finalists in each of the categories. So our reading season begins late November, 1st of December, and last through our board meeting in usually second week of April. And so most of us are reading almost nonstop during that time. So literally all of the books, all of the music, the drama, and all of the categories of journalism, each board member literally reads every one of the finalists, so that when we come together at that a time in New York at Columbia University to select the prizes and go through the prizes, we are very knowledgeable about the work, the circumstances behind the work, the context. It's important for us to know why that work might have been prize-worthy. And so in our confidential deliberations, and they remain confidential, we have great debates and discussions. And ultimately, out of that process, the prize winners are selected.
So tell me a little bit about those conversations. I know you can't get specific about a certain title or anything like that, but what sort of things come up again and again as you have those conversations and get down to those final decisions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that there's, I call the Pulitzer Board the best darn book club in the world. It really is that. Because we had this great luxury of sitting around a table, 16 very accomplished people from a broad cross-section of the country, both geographically and in sort of their background. We have authors and historians, academics, journalists, on that board. So it's a people multidisciplinary group with unique sets of eyes, and I think the best part of that process is that because we come at a book or come at a piece of journalism from different vantage points, the process is just almost amazing in how it produces out of those really candid conversations, really produces the best work year in and year out. And I would say that, you know, key parts of our conversation, Lori, are, you know, does this work that we're seeing here in 2016, does it uphold the finest that the Pulitzer Prizes over a century have come to mean? Mm-hmm. Will this book or will this piece of journalism next year and 10 years from now, as we look back, still be regarded as a high water mark in that particular category? So I think there's that sifting process that is extremely candid. It is amazing at how year after year it does really allow the finest work in American letters and journalism to sift to the top. So it's a great privilege to be a small part of that process.
And there's a real weight to those decisions, like you said, because as soon as you make that selection, the spotlight shines back on the pieces themselves.
Oh, that you couldn't be more accurate. In fact, we've seen many cases where, in some categories, especially books, folks have been recognized as the winner in a particular category, and that's really made their careers, really brought them to the attention of the American reading audience, and that's a wonderful. A wonderful thing for an artist or a historian or a writer or in many cases a journalist. So it's a big deal. What's remarkable to us and a continuing sort of affirmation at the power of the prizes to still be very highly watched at our press conference this afternoon, where our administrator will be announcing the prizes. It will be well attended, and there will be great scrutiny in each of the areas recognized with the prizes. There will be armchair quarterbacking the rest of this week. Why did we do this rather than that? Why didn't we allow this to have a prize versus that? So there's a great deal of attention, and to those of us involved in the process, that's a recognition of the power of what it means to win a Pulitzer Prize.
You're immune to that by now, I would suspect.
No, and I can tell you that I think it was 3 years ago, after much debate and much agonizing, we awarded no prize in the fiction category for the first time in 40 years. And it brought a great deal of attention to the board that year. There was a lot of, there was a hue and cry. Writers across the land really focusing on the board and the process that we went through. And that was a recognition to me that I think in that sense it's good to be in the limelight, because people do value what it means to win a prize in whichever category.
And if you go on their website, there's a slide, the Pulitzer official website, there's a slideshow with some of the winners holding up a one-word description of what it felt like to be awarded this prize. And not all of them are just, you know, amazed or humbled. There are some that say, you know, bittersweet and conflicted. And that really goes back to the work that they did to garner that award, correct?
That's a terrific point. And year after year, not just in journalism, but in the book categories, we see really compelling journalism. We see stories that, you know, are riveting and not always in a good way, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's breaking news or investigative or feature stories that portray people in difficult circumstances, sometimes life or death circumstances. So you're right. It's a really personal experience to sort of witness firsthand that work and to see what many of our finest journalists and writers go through.
And we study that in journalism school then for years to come. Anything we should look forward to today as parting words? I know you can't reveal anything, but anything we should be particularly tuned into as the announcements are made this afternoon?
I can't give you any heads up. I can just say that We have. It was a great year. It was a terrific year, and I would say that we walked away after last week's meeting gratified that in the midst of our digital transformation, you know, everybody sort of talks about how our journalism and books are sort of challenged by the digital revolution. I would say in many ways, the best work that we've seen in a century is happening right now. It's amazing the good work that many people across our country are doing. So it makes me feel good as a retired journalist that people are still in the middle of that revolution doing great work that matters.
You've been listening to Randall Back, co-chair of the Pulitzer Prize Selection Committee. The Pulitzer Prizes will be announced this afternoon from Columbia University in New York City. Mr. Back, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lori. Take care.